I haven't preached in a long time. I think the last time I preached was about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, I think some of the reason why I didn't preach was because of where I was in my own self. Some of it was kind of disobedience. Some of it was just circumstance. But God's good. You know, I'm here today regardless of circumstance or situations. You know, God is good. And not that I'm going to play up my preaching. In fact, if anything, I'm going to play it down because it's been a long time. And not only that, you know, in the preparation for the preaching this morning, I really did struggle. And so I've kept it as simple as I possibly could. And I'm sharing something that God has been speaking to me about. So it's a load of preamble. I don't know. I'm just kind of like just talking, just to get comfortable talking. But it's important for me just to be able to say that this morning, you know. You know, the Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that is scary, you know, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation in itself is an amazing gift. It's a gift from God. And as a command of God, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling is a real challenge, you know. And I think, you know, God gives us instruction in his word a lot about how we should act, what we should do, our relationship with him, and how that should be. So, you know, this morning, I just want to, just pray once again, really, that the Holy Spirit really kind of opens up this word to you, that that actually, you know, these are my words on paper, but, you know, they're God's words from his Bible. And, you know, I believe that when God, you know, when we use the Bible, when we speak the word of God, you know, his purpose doesn't come back void. So, just Holy Spirit, I just thank you, my God, once again this morning. Empower me, my Lord, and I pray, Lord, you just give people ears, you know, those who are here today, you know, ears to listen. And I trust in you, Holy Spirit, this morning to fill in the gaps. You say in your word, Lord, that you take the simple things of this world to shame the wise. And my hand's up, Lord, I'm very simple. And, you know, I want to share something which is simple this morning. So, Lord, just speak through me and speak to my brothers and sisters in here today. And for those who don't know you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, good. So, nice. Can you see that? I wish I could make it bigger. It's not very nice, is it? Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but you know, having to clear the hair, particularly ladies' long hair, from the plug hole is not a particularly nice experience, is it? Is it? And men's beards as well. Yeah. No, I agree. Thank you. But. Yeah, it, you know, hair's. Some of you are frowning very, very badly. It's not very nice for this time of the morning, I agree. But hair's a bit of a dominant thought for me right now. It might be the age. It may be because Ruby's just started a job in a hairdresser's. But yeah, it's a dominant thought. So when I was thinking about something to illustrate this morning, I was thinking about unwanted hair. And then I got really jealous by looking at people with really, really nice hair. So look, David Beckham, apparently he's had a hair transplant. I don't believe it anyway. But, you know, hair, when it's in its rightful place, looks pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah? And I just want you to think about that this morning as we, as I'm just sharing a few things. There is a connection. So I'm following Simon Bagg's kind of lead on this, that actually is going to start off with something for you to think about as I'm going to, you know, go through what God's got for us this morning. So, there's a bit of a connection already. Staying connected. So, the preach today is on staying connected, and really that's kind of theme. So, if you've got a Bible, if you could, Could you go to John 15? And I'm just going to share with you about the vine and the branches. So a lot of you know this. The text, I'm not going to go through every word of this text, all right, because actually there's quite a lot of it, and so I'm going to do a bit of a hop and a skip through it, particularly this morning, because it's just a few of us. Obviously, a lot of us, the church is at West Point this morning. So it's a bit of a hop and a skip through it, and I'll just pick on a few points as we go. But I'm going to read this out. For those of you who can't read that, I'm going to read it out. So this is Jesus talking. And Jesus said, John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, as my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as my Father's commands and remain in his love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So, John 15, I kind of stopped it here, right? So, the first three paragraphs are about, really, largely, about our relationship with God. And the paragraph which I've missed out is our relationship with others. Okay, we haven't got time to go into it in a huge amount of detail this morning, so maybe for another time. But this is what particularly I believe the Lord wanted to speak to us about this morning. Now, just a question to everyone, really. Why do you think Jesus used an illustration of a vine? That's a question, so you feel free to answer. Family, yeah? Wine? Yeah? Any other reason? Absolutely. So, vines symbolised God's people. And all the way through the Bible, you know, God is talking to his people. Many times about vines and about fruit and about trees and about, you know, the things that people can see around them. So everyone can identify with God. So there's good examples, you know, if you wanted to read up on it yourself. Psalms 80, Isaiah 5, you know, God is talking about the vines. This is even in the Old Testament before Jesus turned up on the scene on earth. But it also symbolised God's goodness and fruitfulness to all these people. And also, as an illustration to Christians, you know, I believe that that vines can initially grow and bear fruit by themselves, but unless they have careful attention from, as we hear here, the gardener, who is God, they will overgrow and wither and not produce any fruit. So connection is really important. I mean, that's kind of the reason why I'm sharing this today. Connection is really, really important. So just four very simple points I want to go over. And again, hop and a skip, so just bear with me. God's greatest commandment, the pruning process, abiding in him, and about fruit and it naturally occurring. Okay, still with me? Good. So, I just want to start with this, and it's not really mentioned in this particular passage of Scripture, but, you know, God's greatest commandment is to love, you know, the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. Yeah? And also in the New Testament, it talks about heart, with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And, you know, the Bible in itself is really God's love story. So when I look at the Bible, and I was thinking about this morning on the way in, I was thinking, you know, Lord, what really is your word there for? And it's about God's love story. It's a love story. When you look at the Bible, it is a love story. From beginning to end, it's about God wanting to share his love for us. Now, in his love for us, there's times where discipline and correction need to come. Because, you know, in a loving relationship, particularly in a father and a son or a father and a daughter relationship, that has to happen. You know, I've been married for over 20 years now. I've learned that sometimes holding back the truth from my wife or my wife holding back the truth from me sometimes is better. Right? Sometimes it's better. But do you see God is loving, and in his loving way, he often shares things with us which, you know, cut like a knife. They're difficult, they're hard. But he does it for the right reasons. Do we believe that? So God desires relationship and communion with us. And this all goes back, you know, to the times of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was sin that separated us from God. It was our wrongdoing, our own ways that separated us from God. You know, God desires relationship with us. But it's we get in the way. We get in the way. You know, Moses, God turned up in a burning bush to speak to Moses. There's another example. You know, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, down on earth in the form of a man so he could speak to us one-to-one, speak to the disciples one-to-one. He desires relationship with us. That's the most important thing. Christian life, first and foremost, is about relationship. You know, the Message version is love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all that you've got. That's just pretty striking to me. You know, God doesn't want us to be apart or disconnected from him. That's why Jesus was sent, so that we can have a relationship with God. So, the next point, and this is in verse 1, Jesus Christ is the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. You know, when Jesus was revealing who he was, he used the phrase, I am. And I don't know whether, you know, if you've read your Bible, or if you know your Bible, you'll know what I'm talking about next. But now, I am was a way of describing God. And actually, in the Jewish custom, it was a sin to say I am, because he was addressing himself as God. So Jesus himself, when he described himself as the I am, he was making it very, very clear that he was God. Now, Jesus already had said, leading up to this, that I am the bread of life, in John 8:12. I am the way, the truth, the life, in John 14:6. And I am the door, in John 10:9. And when, in the context of this as well, this scripture, this was the night before that Jesus was crucified. So this was the Last Supper. So just picture this. You're around the table with Jesus. Jesus is talking, giving his final instructions to his disciples. And one of the things he said is, I am the vine and you are the branches. And my Father is the gardener. He was making it really clear to them about our relationship with him and his relationship with God. You know, our relationship to God is through Jesus Christ. In the same evening, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Yeah, our connection with God is through Jesus Christ. You know, and I want us to be absolutely clear on that. You know, if you've not heard the gospel before, the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to save the world through him. And it was because of our sin, because of our wrongdoing, that we're separated from God. But it's through his sacrifice, it's through his blood, that we have a relationship with him. And I also want you to, you know, this point, when I first read this many years ago, what really struck me about this whole scripture was actually Jesus said, he is the vine, we are the branches. Our connection with Jesus Christ is direct. It's not through anybody else. It's direct. So if you've got a spouse that's a Christian, your relationship with God isn't through your spouse. If you've got, you know, a father or mother that's a Christian, your relationship with Christ isn't through your parent. You know, our relationship with Christ is direct. Even in church, your relationship with God isn't through a priest or a minister. It's direct. You know, this is what this was all about. And this is what Jesus was making clear here. Now, you can't see this, but I just want to kind of just show you this, just briefly. So I went online. Google's a wonderful thing. And this is talking about the cutting process, the pruning process. Yeah? Which is the second point. As you can see, from the left picture, the grapevine before pruning, to the right picture, it's pretty severe. The pruning process is pretty severe. And for a vine to be fruitful, you know, the gardener must be skillful. God himself described himself as the gardener. Jesus described his Father as the gardener. Now, the role of a gardener in a vineyard in those times, in Jesus' times, was the most important. And I did a little bit of research. I thought, even nowadays, you know, what would a vineyard manager earn compared to an average salary? Just to kind of give it a sense of how important is it. Five times the average salary the vineyard manager would earn. Which is not bad, is it? Fancy a new job? You know, this was a very, very valuable profession back then. So Jesus, when he was describing about the vine dresser or the gardener, was describing something which was very, very valuable in the time. And he's describing God as God being very valuable. Yeah, God is very valuable because of what he does. He knows where to clip. God knows which branches to just snip away at. And to snip away just before the growth or just after the growth, just so that actually when next year comes, when next season comes, the vine is much more fruitful. You know, and I just want to say, you know, our Father is able and trustworthy. He created the heavens and the earth by his words alone. Yeah? He describes us as his handiwork. Yeah, Scripture says that everything on heaven, in heaven and on earth belongs to him. Yeah, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Yeah, God is more than able to be able to prune those areas of our lives that need to be pruned. In verse 2, Jesus says himself that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make more fruitful. He prunes so that we can be more effective. So you see, last year's fruit is no good for this year. So if you had a great walk with God last year, but it's not so good this year, then guess what? What do you need to do? Yeah. Exactly. Allow God to prune your life, to cut away those areas of your life that actually he doesn't, you know, that's not good for us, and that actually he wants us to be more fruitful. You know, but as human beings, we've got a problem, which is, you know, going back to the Garden of Eden, we have free will. As we can see on the picture on the right, the pruning process is pretty severe. It's often very, very painful. It leaves the branches bare and vulnerable. But it's seasonal. I want you to remember that. That only lasts for a certain time. Because next year, yeah, the fruit's going to come. And as I was kind of preparing for this, I was just thinking, I had an impression on my mind about the pruning process, pushing us away from God. Because I know in my own life that when God starts to bring out the clippers and starts to clip away, I find it very difficult sometimes, and I tend to take a step back because I'm human. I don't want my life to be interfered with, or, you know, things taken away, things that are part of my own identity maybe. But there's things, two kind of areas that really was impressed on my mind as I was preparing for this. And one of them's loneliness. Now, I don't know who that's for. I don't know whether that's for just one, or it's for many, or it's just for me. But you don't have to be alone, single, to be lonely. Right? You can be in a relationship and feel lonely because actually you feel misunderstood. You could be in a situation where you just feel as if nobody's listening. You know, loneliness is a dangerous thing. And God calls us all to be part of one vine. All the branches are connected. And I just went to a scripture. I just believe the Lord took me to a scripture, which is in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, which is, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Yeah, New Living Translation says he will never leave or abandon you. So I just want you to know that actually, if one of the reasons you're maybe running away from God or not allowing God to prune is because of the way you feel, then I just want you to encourage you, even right now, that you just trust in God. Because he's on your side, and the Bible says he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. The Bible describes himself as our friend. And the other thing is weariness. That I think some of us have been through stages in our lives where we're a bit kind of battle weary, where we feel like, oh my God, not again. Lord, another problem. Oh my God, not again. Another problem. Another problem, another problem. And then rather than that pushing us closer towards God, sometimes we just think, actually, you know what? This is all too difficult. I'm going to kind of take a step back. This is all too difficult because there's too many problems. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." Amen. You know, and they're just two areas that the Lord was speaking to me about, which in obedience I thought I'd share. But, you know, even right now, the Holy Spirit might be impressing on you just an area of your life which actually you struggle with God pruning. Maybe areas where growth had been, but maybe not now. areas we need to allow the Father to work on. You still with me? Yeah? We're all right for time? Good? The next point is about abiding in God. So verse 4 to verse 7 talks about abiding in Him. And as a Christian, our source of life is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah? In order for the branch to receive nourishment, it needs to abide in the vine. Yeah? Our life, if God is describing us as a branch, yeah, our life comes through the vine. Yeah? So for us to be nourished, we need to stay connected. Yeah, think of the unwanted hair. It's not nice when it's disconnected, is it? When you look at that hair to start with, it's not nice when it's disconnected, but when it's in its rightful place, it's great. But when it's disconnected, you know what? When anything's disconnected, we look at it and we think, it's not very nice. And I think, you know, before I move on, that could just be how other people look at us if we're not in Christ. The Bible talks about us being in Christ. You know, maybe we're not giving off the right impression to those we love and we care for, or those around us who want to see Christ in us. So how, as Christians, do we stay connected with Jesus? I think there's 6 ways, really. I'm just going to just go over them very quickly. And this is not necessarily... I'm not going to give you scriptures about this. This is just my own... This is scriptural. But I'm not going to give you scriptures for this. One of them, first 1 to 4 are kind of personal, and 5 and 6 are more outward looking. So the first way to stay connected with God is praying. Who believes that? So, you know, for me to be in relationship with my wife, I need to talk to her. She needs to listen. I need to listen to her. And it goes on. But we need to, you know, we need to talk, you know, and that is a great illustration of our relationship with God. You know, praying is just a fancy word for talking and listening. That's all it is. And some of us think, oh, I can't pray. Yeah, you can. Because it's just talking. And we all talk, right? Women speak more than men, granted. And it's scientific, by the way. 20,000 words a day, apparently, on average, versus, I think, 8 to 10 for a man, on average. Bit of scientific data there for you. I think that's going to get me in trouble. The second point is reading our Bibles. You see, you know, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. You know, so in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this scripture, which we read, is inspired by God. And to get to know God, this is like God's CV. If you want to know about God, then you read your Bible. Also, you know, it's got power. You know, as you read scripture, particularly, you know, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, things will jump out at you. Even as preparing for this, things jumped out at me, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I believe you're speaking to me through that. And that's our nourishment. You know, kind of praying, reading our Bible, that's our nourishment. The third point is about being obedient. You know, when God asks you to do something, sometimes, despite the opposition, it's good just to get on and do it. There's a good illustration in the Old Testament about obedience versus sacrifice. So God doesn't necessarily want sacrifice. You know, again, I'm going to keep using my relationship with my wife as illustration. Right, I could go on a diet, right, to try to make myself more appealing to my wife. Right, Yeah, that would be sacrifice, because I'm sacrificing food for my wife. When actually, all she wants me to do is pick up my dirty washing, right? And actually, you know, listen to her, be more obedient, right? That's an act of love to my wife, not necessarily how I make myself look. Yeah? And I think another point is asking the Holy Spirit to continue to fill us. You know, we're leaking vessels. We are leaking vessels. As Christians, we are leaking vessels. You know, we might get a little tear, you know, in the vine. We might get a little tear in the vine where some of that nourishment begins to just ebb away. And actually, you know what? Keeping praying, keep reading our Bible, keep asking God to show us things, being obedient is really, really important. You know. The fifth and the sixth part are about kind of our action, really, which is about giving out. I think if you just, in your mind's eye, think about a pond versus a fresh stream. Yeah? Actually, when God talks to us through the Word, He talks about us as living waters, as fresh flowing. You know, we're not made to just kind of hold still, stagnant water. That's not God's purpose for our life. You know, the act of giving out is really, really important as a Christian. You know, and that's a good illustration of us being able to just continue. God feels, we give out. God feels, we give out. We give out, God feels. That's how it should be. We shouldn't take it all for ourselves. If we do that, guess what? We will end up being just stagnant and still and having no life. And the final point about staying in relationship and abiding with God is fellowship. You know, we are all part of the same vine. It's really important that we meet together, and we are together. You know, the Bible talks about, in the New Testament, about us not, let us not give up meeting together, as some of us are in the habit of doing. No, it's really important. No man's an island, you've heard the saying, right? You know, it's really important. We can't do this by ourselves, particularly as Christians. We need the encouragement and the support of others. And we need to give encouragement and support to others too. Okay. I want to speed up a little bit. You know, even if a branch is cut off, it can produce temporarily, leaves temporarily, fruit temporarily. But very soon, it will wither and die. Yeah, and when God is saying that, Jesus is saying here, that the branch was picked up and thrown into the fire, what was he saying? Effectively, that it's good for nothing. You know, I don't want to be described by God as good for nothing. I don't want to receive a gift that God has given me, do nothing with it. Yeah, the gift of salvation, do nothing with it. And God's saying, because you're not bearing fruit, I'm going to toss you away. Yeah, that's not God's purpose in our life. You know, that's why I'm saying that sometimes the word of God cuts like a knife. It's difficult. But I want you to be encouraged this morning. This isn't about me kind of telling anybody off. I don't think it's even about God telling anyone off. It's just instructive. It's about how do we get closer with God and what are the consequences. Jesus used many parables to describe this. 10 virgins, 5 who had, 5 of the virgins who had, 5 of them who didn't. The parable of the talents, when Jesus said to the ones who did nothing, the one who did nothing with his talents, away from me, evil doer, I didn't even know you. You know, we've got the most precious gift known to man, which is eternal life with God, a relationship with God. Yeah, we need to nurture that relationship. It doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're young, you're old, you know, it's most important is that we are in relationship with God. And I think just finally, I just want to say that fruit naturally occurs. So, If we stay in relationship with God, guess what will happen? In the illustration of the vine, God cuts off those branches. We don't have to work hard to produce grapes. It naturally occurs. Yeah, it receives nourishment from God, and it just happens. And I was thinking, this is more about being and less about doing. You know, it's about us kind of being a Christian, being in relationship with God, and through that relationship with God, God allows us to produce fruit. And who's the fruit for? It's for others. It's not for us. We get some benefit. If you think about what the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, I've written it down here. It's in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah, that's going to benefit me. But again, thinking about my relationship with my wife, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'll be a better person to be around, surely. Wouldn't I? You know, and I think, you know, as we walk with God and God allows that fruit to be produced in our lives, I think we become a lot more attractive. Do you agree? Now, being connected with Jesus is something supernatural. Yeah? When we become less, God becomes more. Yeah, we take on more of his values and attitudes, and in that, the Bible says our joy is complete. Yeah, I'm going to stop there. But I just want us to pray, if we could. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, my God, in a way that certainly I understand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, my God, Lord, for your word, your instructive word, my God, Lord, that you say that we need to bear fruit. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as the succoteers, the shears come out and those areas of our lives are just beginning to be cut away, Lord, that we submit to you. That Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't fight the process, Lord, that we allow you to work in our lives, Lord, that we allow ourselves to be nourished, filled with the Holy Spirit, my God. That Heavenly Father, Lord, we become closer and closer to you, my Lord, through the process. That, Lord, we want you to bear fruit in us, my God. And we just say to you this morning, my God, that we are yours and we surrender to you and we ask you, Lord, that you would bear fruit. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to me, my God. Thank you, Lord, you speak to us, my God. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.